Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So let's not forget the Sixers. They got a big win last night. Certainly a shot of adrenaline for all of us as Sixers fans. Renewed hope that they can win the series. I still thought they could entering game three, but it was the first time I was like, all right, I'm picking the Knicks the rest of the way. But look, Sixers got the win. They proved in games one and two they can win the series. They just didn't win the freaking games. But we knew they could win these games. They finally got one. Obviously, from here, four games to go. Sixers got to win three of the final four. Let's listen to the moment where, frankly, I thought the Sixers got very fortunate that Joel was not tossed from the game. Two pieces of audio related to that. We'll play them in sequence as the game was broadcast on TNT. This is right after Mitchell gets pulled down, and this is the way the TNT crew reacted.
I don't think Robinson appreciated the pull down from Embiid. It will be Robinson to the free throw line, and boy, the intensity level and the chippiness continues to ratchet up. And they're still talking to each other.
And this is where, if you're Joel Embiid and that coaching staff, you've got to get him under control here. You can ill afford for him to allow this thing to escalate. This is too critical of a game, and we've got too much basketball left to play.
I mean, again, I think they were very fortunate he didn't get tossed. The broadcast crew continued because, of course, then, you know, Mitchell Robinson, they're looking at the whole thing, and now they start going to looking at a replay of it. Let's listen as the broadcast continued on.
And now the officials, for the third time in this quarter, are going to go to the replay monitor.
Yeah, that should be a flagrant one. I mean, that's what we talk about in terms of losing control. He didn't like the fact that he didn't get the call, but then he just grabs.
Wow.
I thought it was a dirty play. You know, Knicks players called it literally a dirty play.
It was dirty. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
He could have really hurt that guy. Like, he's already, or he could have hurt him real bad.
James, it is absolutely not what you'd call a basketball play.
It's just not. You can't defend it as a basketball-looking play. Right. There's no way.
I thought they were really lucky he didn't get thrown out. Now, I think we all know probably the main reason why he didn't was all the nonsense that happened in game two, how the Sixers got jobbed. Those refs probably had it in their mind going in, all right, we're leaning toward the Sixers' way. We're not going to basically effectively end this series by tossing Joel Embiid, you know, early portion of game three. But let's be clear, they could have.
They could have started a huge fight, you know, between the teams. That could have. And there were, I was told, around 7,000 Knicks fans in the building.
Well, that's a whole nother thing we haven't even gotten to. All right, let's get to that. More of that in a moment. But let's listen to Embiid. After the game, he puts up a tremendous performance, the 50 points. He's then obviously in the, you know, post game, and he's talking about the takedown of Mitchell Robinson, his explanation for it, and frankly, justification. Now, maybe the NBA, knowing Joel's past, maybe they feel it's justified enough, therefore a flagrant one instead of a flagrant two, because you do want to have the player not dunk and then land on you. But, man, that's a roundabout way to get there to justify it. Here's what Joel said after the game last night.
You know, obviously, Mitchell Robinson jumping and, trying to make sure it doesn't land on me, because obviously we know the history that I have with, you know, Kuminga landing on my knee. So I kind of had some flashbacks, you know, when he came down to it. It's unfortunate. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I just, you know, in those situations, I gotta protect myself, because I've been in way too many situations where, you know, I'm always a recipient of, you know, bad, you know, the bad end of it. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. But physical game, they want to bring their physicality. We can be physical too, and we are. So, I mean, it goes both ways. I get bummed all over the place, you know, I just keep playing. And, you know, I'm not going to take it.
I'm not going to take it. Look, I applaud Joel for standing up for himself, but he's got to be smarter.
He's got to figure out a way to navigate this better.
I mean, whew.
It's risky.
Do we all agree if this is a regular season game, he's thrown out of
Correct.
The game?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I don't know that it matters the time of year.
I think
fiasco
it
of
absolutely
the
matters.
Previous two
sure.
games
I think it's both, John.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I think
it's both a combination.
Factors. It's that it's not a regular season game and that game two happened the way it did. Look, I'll tell you this. If this was game one of the series, if there had been no blown calls in the series and this is game one of the best of
yeah,
seven,
I think you had to have
I think it would have been thrown
games
out.
Worth of built-up
yeah.
badness by the officials.
James, do you agree with that? If it's game one, it's 5 minutes into game one, nothing crazy has happened yet. Is he thrown from the game?
No. I think he's not getting thrown in the playoffs for that. I just don't. Again, if he did it again, if it were a second infraction,
it was dirty,
of some,
man.
It
he's
was. I said
floor.
It was
a guy
too.
Goes up for a dunk and
I'm not
his
saying
ankles.
He didn't deserve
Holy
to be
mackerel.
Thrown out. I'm just saying I don't think they would have thrown him out for a first infraction. Of the playoffs.
You know, at this point, something that egregious is going to it's going to be emblazoned in the minds of officials.
He's got
to
watch it now.
If he slips up at all, like it could work the other way, where something small becomes something that's officiated over the top.
Do we feel confident he's not going to get suspended?
I
think so.
I'm confident about this
infraction. Yeah, for
yes,
this one.
I feel confident about this one. But moving forward, something much dumber, something much smaller could, if he's not careful, because of the way he set this all up, it could come back and
bite. The way the Knicks are going to play him. Exactly. Yeah, the
Absolutely.
Knicks are going to be all over him.
That's the point. They're going to make a point to drive this home. Look, they will be gnats.
Hartenstein seems like a nice guy. Hartenstein's got to get a little more dog in him. Good player. Real good player. But I could tell the way that guy reacted. Like, I go back to when P.J. Brown all those years ago flipped Charlie Ward. Like, sometimes you need a Claude Lemieux type to instigate. And I wonder if the Knicks don't have enough of that, because I thought they had Joel on the ropes, basically ready to get tossed from the game if they just pushed him a little harder. And, you know, OG Anunoby's playing peacemaker out there. I'm like, all right, dude, we'll take it. 215-592-9494, Ryan and Trenton. Ryan, good morning.
How are we doing today, guys?
Doing great, Ryan.
First of all, I just wanted to congratulate you guys on taking Mitchell in the draft, because I can't say I have a bone to pick with you guys, because I'm a Raider fan and we ended up with Brock Bowers over anything. And I really wanted Mitchell over anything. But,
wow.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick congratulations to you guys.
You wanted Quinyon Mitchell over Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is an exciting pick.
And that's nothing against Brock. I'm more than happy that we got literally the best tight end in the draft. But we drafted Michael Mayer last year. So I'm a little confused as to the direction as to where we're going. We really needed that help in the secondary, but there's a lot of really good talent left over. But, yeah, just congratulations to you guys on getting an absolute stud of a corner.
Well, as the guy
there.
That made the pick, Ryan, I'll say thank you. I accept your congratulations.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and to go off of that, I was talking to a coworker yesterday about the Sixers game. Shout out JT. He literally said it's how Joel enters the game is how the game is going to go and possibly how the rest of the series plays out. It's a shame that we have to talk about this flagrant that happened, but Joel was absolutely spectacular aside from that.
Incredible.
So we need more of that out of him for, well, mainly the rest of the series. If they can keep that up, I don't see why the Sixers can't push it possibly into the next round.
Look,
or
Ryan, last night is exactly why the Sixers should win the series if Joel Embiid is healthy, because they've, two of the three best players in the series, maybe the two best, but if you want to go Brunson over Maxey, okay, that's fine. But clearly the Sixers clearly have two of the three best players in the series. They're the only three guys that are like all-star dudes.
And the best when he's on, significantly the
best.
It's
not even
close.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not even close. When Joel Embiid is right, he is obviously a top five player in the NBA. Maybe three, maybe two. I'm only going to go two. But again, he's not healthy enough often enough to, you know.
But he's healthy enough now.
He turned a corner.
Lift this team. Yeah.
He's got to stay around that corner,
and I think
though,
he
John.
I think he's his conditioning and everything, it's where it needs to be. Now we're in a sweet spot, and he's feeling the motivation. He's feeling the drive. We're in a good place.
All right, so much going on in Philly sports. We're 2 hours and 5 minutes into the show, and except for one mention by a caller, we hadn't even gotten to the reality of Knicks fans taking over the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah. So, Rhea, what percentage did you assess it at?
I was told by somebody who was there that they thought it was around 7,000.
Which would be about a little over a third.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was told, my buddy was there, and he said it was more than a half.
What?
Knicks fans.
I heard more
he
than
said,
a half from
yeah, that's
well.
What I heard
more
from a couple different people. Yeah.
Wow. I heard it got early on when Sixers were not playing well in the first set, you know, when it was close, that tensions were getting heated between Knicks and Sixers. Like,
oh,
it could have gotten real ugly in there.
Oh, what an outrage.
I know.
What an embarrassment for the franchise.
Yeah,
like,
I felt
embarrassed as a Sixers fan yesterday. Like, it's a play. Can you imagine CBP being overrun by Mets fans in a playoff game?
No.
In a playoff game?
All right, James, let me ask you a question. Who do you, James, blame more? I'm going to give you two options.
Josh Harris.
Yes.
You ready? Here we go.
Always blame him.
Do you blame Sixers fans more?
No.
Or the Sixers
I blame the
organization.
100% the organization. This is the constant losses in the second round over and over and over again. It's apathy. It's the lack of engagement with fans. You've talked a ton about the lack of bringing former players back, the lack of it feeling like a Sixers thing, like our city team. Like, I blame the organization and Josh Harris 100%.
I agree with you. I made a point to a buddy last night. If this is 01, not even 01, even any of the AI years, any of the Pat Croce years, like, you would have had enthusiasm from Croce on down, inspiring millions of Sixers fans, where you'd have 20,000 Sixers fans there. You just would have. I mean, I agree with you, James. I also put it more on Josh Harris than Sixers fans. But let's be real, a lot of people are going to view it the other way. I mean, Charles Barkley last night, let's listen to what Charles said. Charles was on TNT. This is at halftime of the game. And Charles clearly puts it on, you know, Sixers fans.
I'm disgusted.
Disgusted at what?
All those Knicks fans there. This Philadelphia is a
100-mile It's 100 miles away.
I don't give a damn. We're the Philadelphia 76. You can't have them people in your building making all that noise.
It sounds like a home game for New York.
It does.
Yeah.
It really sounds like a home game for the Knicks. I am so disappointed.
You guys have to stop.
I guarantee you, them people in New York wouldn't sell Sixers tickets.
Well, people
come
want
on,
money.
Man.
All right, listen, you can weigh in. I mean, if you were there, we'd love to hear how you experienced it, you know, what you saw and heard, what you think the percentage is. I mean, it's a very unique situation. A Philadelphia home playoff game, whether it's 30%, 40%, 50%, whatever, that many people from the opposing team.
And you could hear them.
Oh,
it sounded different on the TV
it did.
Copy. It was noticeable that things when bad things happened to us, strange noises or positivity were emanating from the crowd. I was not accustomed to that.
All right, so your reaction to that, 215-592-9494. Plus, if you missed it earlier, what Micah Parsons said, his frustration with the Eagles getting Quinyon Mitchell. Great audio. We'll get to that. Also, Lewis Riddick, he loves Quinyon Mitchell. What he said, we'll get to that audio and more. Plus, Joel finally commented on the eye situation. Joel's eye. What's going on? He discussed it at length last night. We'll get that audio for you as well. Your calls on all these topics, including the A.J. Brown contract, 215-592-9494 from Borgata on this Friday morning. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Hit the Grand Slam jackpot with BetMGM. Score a $50,000 bonus bet jackpot when a player you bet on to hit a homer slugs a grand slam. Simply head over to BetMGM, place a home run prop bet for any of this weekend's games. If the player you bet on goes yard with the bases loaded, you'll want a share of $50,000 in bonus bets on top of your wager. Take advantage of great home run odds, new ways to enjoy all nine innings with more same game parlay options, and exclusive signature.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In my bathing suit?
What?
Yes, my bathing
Why?
Suit, not my birthday suit.
I like where this is going.
I'm out of all clean underwear.
Oh,
no way.
Boxers,
gotta take a trip
tighty,
to Mama
whiteies, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever you call them.
Oh,
are you
man.
Kidding me?
You're an adult. I'm a full-grown adult.
2 days in a row, John. I'm now on my second bathing suit.
You've resorted.
Joe, don't say that. You're an idiot. So if any of you wanted.
I did that when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, you were 18.
When I first left home yes. for the first time. I found myself a few times wearing a jock strap for underwear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I thought that.
That was an oh, wow.
I'm so sorry I asked.
It's bad. But, Joe, you're 46 years old now.
Yeah.
Now, as of today, you should not be getting to this point.
Well, listen, if anyone wants to do me a favor for my birthday, or not do me a favor, just give me a birthday present. Like, the one thing you could give me this weekend is come to my apartment and do my laundry. I mean, seriously, people ask Jane, oh, what can I do? What can I get for you? All right, here's what you can get for me. Clean laundry. All right. Let's go to the phones. 215. Now, to answer your question, Rhea, it's going to be watching a lot of sports.
I don't care anymore. I just focused on the fact that you are wearing a bathing suit instead of underwear.
2 days, and I only have one more bathing suit. So I got one more day I can pull this off, and then we're
do
really.
Do you have a washer in your apartment?
Yeah, but it's in the apartment complex.
Okay.
You
know,
and these are like boxer-type bathing suit, right?
Not Speedos.
It's not Speedo
no,
style.
It's not one of that.
You don't have a Speedo bathing
no,
suit.
No, I don't have that.
Okay.
I tell you what I do have, a grin on my face when I hear Micah Parsons talk with frustration about the Eagles and what they're doing. Let's listen to Parsons again, then we'll get right back to the calls. See, if you missed this earlier, of course, the Eagles last night with Quinyon Mitchell is the 22nd pick in the draft. They stay right where they were. All the corners fall to them. Howie gets his pick. The one he goes with is Quinyon Mitchell. I wonder how much Howie considered trading down. But in the end, he stays there, gets Mitchell. And Micah Parsons, Cowboys star, very, very, very frustrated. Here's what Parsons said about the Eagles landing Quinyon Mitchell.
Micah, how you feeling? I mean, I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He hit he checked every box. I think this is a great pick. I mean, I think this is a terrific pick, man. I don't know how Howie and them get so lucky. That's how I'm going to put it.
Makes me so happy. It really does. Mm-hmm. It makes me happy to hear him in
pain.
Pain. He's in pain. All right, Bill Belichick, what he said about the selection of Quinyon Mitchell. We'll get to that shortly. Plus, Elliott Shore Parks in 10 minutes. Brandon in Brookhaven right now. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. So I have a question for you guys after this call here, so please let me ask that question.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said you have a question for us after the call?
Oh,
so let me make sure I get that. So the call
comment.
Happens, you hang up, and then how's the question happen?
I'm sorry.
No, yes, I'm joking. All right, Brandon, I'm just a wise ass. All right, hello.
We know that. Trust me. We know that. But I don't follow college football at all. So I go by what everyone says and all that. And I can say this, like, watching this draft, no one can ever predict an NFL draft. I can safely assume that from now on. I can't believe this guy fell to us. I can't believe how I didn't have to trade up to get this guy. And not to mention, I think he may be the best deal of the draft based on what I'm hearing right now.
Sure. You could make the argument. It's not even a stretch to make the argument that he's the best value. This is the top cornerback. The top cornerback taken at number 22.
Plus, not to mention, this guy sounds like he's going to fit in Philly very well. I mean, what do we love in Philly? Loyalty, character, and everything else. And this guy fits all those, checks all those boxes, so to speak.
You know, Brandon, real quick, though, before we start doing, like, cartwheels over this, because, look, I'm excited, too, but number one, he's not Jalen Ramsey coming out of a draft, all right? So let's just start with that. When John's referencing the top corner, like, this isn't Sauce Gardner, okay? Because if he was, he would have been taken in the top 7 to 10. Number two, for what it's worth, and make of it whatever you want, both Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah thought they should have drafted someone else, and these guys spent a lot of time assessing all these players. They weren't saying he's not good. They're just saying they thought there were better corners available. So time will tell whether the Eagles made the right pick.
Joe, have you seen our corners play last year?
Yeah, but, I mean, let's see how the other guys do. I mean, I'm just telling you,
it's going to be an improvement, Joe.
No, I agree. And I think I agree with you. Brandon, I agree with you. But, like, Markelle Fultz was supposed to be an improvement, even if he had been and he wasn't. He's not Jason Tatum.
Well,
you not only want to get a position of need, you want to get truly the best player, the best career.
Well, this guy's also going to work, it sounds like.
Right.
Well, what we love in Philly.
Yeah.
We want that.
Right.
All right. But I mean,
it's a nice balance.
But Terrion Arnold's probably going to work too. I mean, if that's this guy's going to work.
But it makes sense that this guy would have a little bit more of a chip. I mean, the Toledo guy who's defied the odds and stayed true to his, you know, his roots all the way through. I do agree with them. Like, I think that loyalty that he displayed, it counts for me.
All right. What Bill Belichick said about the pick. We're going to get to that coming up in 1 minute. 1 minute's time. Belichick on the Eagles selection last night of Quinyon Mitchell.
Let's talk about my friends at Mount Holly Nissan. Tina Wright, the owner of Mount Holly Nissan, has a motto. Give the customers the right deal at the right price. Like right now, you can lease a new 24 Nissan Sentra for only $259 a month. That is an amazing deal. New Nissans are arriving daily, and they have a great selection of new and pre-owned Nissans to choose from. Minutes from all bridges, Mount Holly Nissan is the right dealership for you. Stop in or visit online at mthollynissan.com. Again, that website, mthollynissan.com. For all lease deals, please see dealer for details.
All right, so Bill Belichick last night, part of coverage of the draft instead of, you know, in a war room for the draft.
He was great, by the way.
Did you enjoy him?
Oh, my God. He was offered criticism, which you normally don't hear on draft, like, you know, positive and negative. He told a funny story, the Randy Moss thing. He said, you know, when we traded for him, I called Randy twice to tell him, and he hung up on me because he thought it was a prank.
Wow.
I mean, I thought he was really good.
Wow. Well, that's good stuff. So, you know, Belichick, I believe this is –
It took him a long time to warm up, though.
It did.
Oh, my.
But he got going.
He was good.
Yeah.
His information was good, but it was just weird to see him in that more relaxed environment. Like, I felt like he felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, he wasn't relaxed at the start. It took him a while to get to where he was actually good.
Well, he had been in a war room for 47 straight drafts.
Right.
It probably was weird to him.
It probably did feel weird.
Let's listen to Belichick. The Eagles make the selection of Quinyon Mitchell, and then Belichick reacts to it. Here's what he said.
What are your thoughts on somebody playing at Toledo and then getting drafted in the first round of the NFL? That's very abnormal, obviously.
Yeah, and I think what helped him a little bit was the Senior Bowl, playing against good competition there. But they played some good schools. You know, they played Illinois. He had a big game against Northern Illinois with the 3 interceptions. But I think this is a big physical kid that'll help also play on special teams. So he'll help him on all 4 downs. But really is a perimeter guy. And, you know, this guy, he's got good skills, and I'm sure they'll develop him and, you know, just be a better man-to-man player. He hasn't played, you know, probably enough man-to-man against high-level competition yet, but, you know, he'll get there.
John, is he going to start year one? Game one.
Ooh, the game one part.
Yeah.
That's where it's tricky. Probably not.
I hope he does. He better start.
Yeah, I'm with you,
John. I mean, enough of Bradbury. Look, if Bradbury has, maybe he goes inside, Bradbury competes with Avante Maddox for the slot. I don't want Bradbury on the team. But if he's going to be on the team, move his butt inside.
Look, Avante Maddox was struggling at the end of last year, too. Like, James Bradbury or Avante Maddox as your slot, which do you prefer?
Well, but to be fair to Maddox, he came back from a big injury.
And are they both considered starters? Are we considering, like, three cornerbacks?
I consider three guys a starter.
Configuration
That's
now?
The way I – well, yeah. Look, I want this guy to start. I mean, my God.
Look, if we're counting three cornerbacks as starters, then yes, he'll be one of those three. I think he's one of the three best cornerbacks on the team. I think Avante Maddox could end up being the odd man out of that group of three cornerbacks.
No, look, that's right. I mean, I love Avante. And you know, he's been a good Eagle, and he's a good dude. But last night was not the best for him. Now, with that said.
Look, James Bradbury, we know he's slower than he needs to be. Yeah. But James Bradbury has been practicing in the slot. James Bradbury is an incredibly smart football player. He can anticipate routes because he knows the combinations. He knows what to look for. He's probably better at defending from the slot than Avante Maddox is, based on the way Avante looked down the stretch last year. It wasn't good.
I don't put much into that because he just come back from the injury. Here's the weird thing. If you ask me who do I think is a better player this upcoming season for the slot, Avante or Bradbury, I say Avante. What might win Bradbury the job is his contract. I mean, it might. I mean, Taiwan Walker's, you know, in the Phillies rotation because of his contract.
That's still so upsetting.
I mean, it just is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Spencer Turnbull, like, what more could you do?
He couldn't have done anything more.
No.
He's leading the NL in ERA.
It's insane.
You know, come on.
It is pretty incredible. Let's get to TJ right now. We'll get to Elliott Shore Park shortly. TJ, you're on WIP.
Yeah, I guess I should say it's TJ for McKenzie. So when I say Allentown, I mean McKenzie. But anyway.
You got it, buddy.
Listen, first time, last time. I felt compelled to call in because I'm a season ticket holder for the Sixers. And last night it was like FedEx Field and the Eagles were playing the Redskins. I mean, it was ridiculous. There were so many fans there. But being a season ticket holder, it's a money-losing proposition. And when your team makes the playoffs is when the prices go through the roof. I mean, except for four games this season, all the tickets that I did weren't able to use sold for 20-30% below face value on the ticket broken sites. Now you're in the playoffs, tickets are going for 2, 3, 4 times the face value. Personally, I will not sell my tickets to an opposing party fan. I'll only sell them to friends that I know that are Sixers fans. But I think that's half the problem. Why so many fans invaded the
That's an interesting. So you basically understand why people sold out last night. Is that?
I hadn't thought about this part.
Well, yeah, it's financial.
Well, I hadn't thought about the part also, just the actual physical ability to sell your ticket now compared to like 10 years ago. The ease with which that you can do that with our modern technology, like that's facilitating the selling out to the other side
too. Sure.
You know, like
absolutely. There's ticket aggregator sites that you list your tickets once and it's posted to 15 sites. You're guaranteed to sell your tickets.
Yeah. But that technology has come to the point where it's just a lot easier to sell your tickets and it's having a negative effect on the turnout.
But I'll tell you this, there's another element to this in play, and I'll even use the Eagles as an example. So when the Eagles faced the Patriots in February of 2018, I mean, word was it was about 70% Eagles fans. Now, there's a few reasons for that. I mean, yeah, we have a tremendous fan base, but it was also the Eagles going for their first Super Bowl. It was the Patriots at that time, I believe, trying for their sixth Super Bowl and probably in their ninth or tenth, whatever the number was at that point. So the point is, there's no doubt in my mind, because I can just tell. I mean, I have friends that are Knicks fans. They have been more into this than Sixers fans. They just are.
No doubt, Joe.
They just are.
They haven't had their heart broken.
Right. Yeah. We're just too jaded and exhausted at this point.
Exactly.
Like, it's new and fresh for them.
Yeah, there's a cause and effect to these things, and that's part of why, you know, so many Knicks fans were there. I mean,
and also,
I like
apparently, the tickets here are much cheaper than to go to MSG, which was another factor. A lot of Knicks fans that I know were like, oh, like I can go to the game here for like half the price. I can go at MSG.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's something. All right, coming up in 1 minute's time, Elliot Shore Park, his assessment of Quinyon Mitchell as the Eagles pick. Even if it's good, was it the right pick at pick 22? We'll get to that and some day two look ahead, day two being tonight for the draft. All of that with Elliot in 1 minute's time.
Spring baseball's finally back, and the Busch Auto Group is stepping up to the plate with their new home run savings. Swing by Busch Nissan of Limerick or Busch Nissan of Exton today and check out their sweet deals on Altimas and Sentras. Trust me, I've been a customer myself. These guys know how to treat you right. This month, enjoy savings up to $4,000 off new 2023 Nissan Altimas and enjoy rates as low as 3.9% on 2024 Nissan Sentras. Models. Not only that, but every vehicle purchased comes with over $3,000 in bonus value to help drive down the cost of vehicle ownership. Whether you're rounding the bases or navigating the city streets, Busch Auto Group has got your back. Visit them in-store or online today at BushAutoGroup.com. That's B-U-S-H AutoGroup.com. And when you go, tell them John Ritchie sent you.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything we're discussing today. Elliot Shore Parks will weigh in right now. He did a great job in the lead-up to the draft and during the draft. And now it's draft reaction time. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
What's going on? Happy birthday, my guy. Hope
Thank you.
That.
I appreciate that, Elliot. So did the Eagles, for my birthday, did they get us the right corner? They got a corner. It was an area of need. I'm thrilled they got a corner. With all those dudes on the board, did Howie pick the right one, Elliot?
So I don't think he picked the right one. There are three corners I would have taken ahead of Quinyon Mitchell.
Three?
I would have taken both,
wow.
I would have taken both of the Alabama corners, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I would have taken Nate Wiggins. I like Nate Wiggins better than I like Quinyon Mitchell. But what I think what's, to me, my main takeaway from the pick is Howie really put his neck out on the line, and they're really, really trusting their scouting on this. And that, I appreciate. I can respect if you feel strongly about somebody going out and getting him. But when I look at Quinyon Mitchell, he didn't play at a high level. He doesn't have great size. He did run a fast 40, which is impressive. He's not super long. He's almost 23. And I just, you know, these past few years, we've praised Eagles so much for doing the simple thing. Take the guys from the big schools, right? For so many years, they didn't do it. And then they did it the past few years, and we thought it was a great strategy. Mm. So I just last night, if it was me, I would have taken a number of other corners.
Well, what about the Senior Bowl, Elliot? He was the star of the Senior Bowl, and he, having been challenged by Mike Tomlin himself, was taking on all the toughest competitors, all the best wide receivers all week long, and really put on a display for the Senior Bowl for all the coaches that were watching there.
Yeah,
Eagles included.
I think that's it's impressive and it's noteworthy. Howie brought that up last night. It's clear the Senior Bowl is something they very much value. I believe it was Sidney Brown that they saw at the Senior Bowl that really made an impact on them in terms of his ability. So I think he played some more man coverage there and also played some more single high safety at the Senior Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. But it clearly is an event they value. I would just value, you know, 2 years of starting experience in the SEC over 3 days in you know, Tuscaloosa, right? So I get it. And, again, I don't hate the pick of Quinyon Mitchell. It's not the pick I would have made. I would have taken an offensive lineman. I would have taken other corners. But I think Quinyon does have some potential. I don't think this is a disaster. But people keep saying, you know, he was the number one corner in the draft. This reminds me a lot of when we talked about Andre Dillard the next day, right? When Dillard fell, it was, I can't believe he fell. What a gift. People fall for a reason. You know, there's a reason 21 other teams passed on him and no one traded up for him. So we'll see if he's right. You know, I think it's a bold pick by Howie.
Elliot, I was a little surprised on this front. Were you surprised with all the corners on the board that Howie did not trade down?
You know, it's a great point. I was thinking last night when they got around picks 20 and 21, there were so many guys there that maybe you could have moved back. But, you know, I know there was the one trade by the Vikings where they moved up a few spots and they gave up a third and a four, which certainly was not cheap. But overall, I think what you saw last night is outside of the offensive players, there was just not a ton of interest in these defensive players. I mean, all the corners were available. The edges didn't start going until 15. No linebackers were taken. I don't believe any safeties were taken, if I'm not mistaken. One defensive tackle was taken. They're not the special players in this draft. The special players in this draft are on the offensive side of the ball. Now, that doesn't mean they can't turn out to be special, right? This is all just evaluation. Now, Quinyon Mitchell, throughout his life, and he spoke about it last night, has proven people wrong. So there is certainly a chance that in 2 years we're looking at this draft and going, wow, the defense was way better than everyone thought. But what you saw in terms of a lack of trading up, I just don't think people really wanted to.
How badly does Micah Parsons wish he were an Eagle? and did they need to put the kibosh on Micah Parsons doing all this jabber talk?
You know, not give him a contract yet, Sean, might be their version of a kibosh. They haven't committed to him.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought they re-signed him for a few years.
Huh? They haven't committed to long term.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, would not play well in Philadelphia if he was an Eagle and talking about the Cowboys this way. So I can't imagine they're very happy with him in Dallas doing that. It does speak to the respect Howie has around the league that, you know, he's constantly praising the moves they make. But, yeah, it's got to be annoying for Cowboys fans.
So, Elliot, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
What are you expecting? What are you expecting here next move by Howie?
So I still think their biggest need is offensive guard / offensive line. I thought it was a bigger need last night. So, obviously, going in today, I think it's a big need as well. There have been some players that fell out of the first round. Jackson Powers-Johnson out of Oregon. I don't know if he'll make it all the way to 50 or 53, but he's someone that's viewed as ready-made to play any
of the interior. This could be the trade-up.
Yeah, well, if they trade 50 and 53, and obviously a team has to be willing to do it, but the draft value alone gets them all the way up to the top pick in the draft tonight. So they have a ton of ammunition if they want to move up.
Wow.
Jackson Powers-Johnson, he's someone that could play center if, you know, they get to camp and Cam maybe isn't translating well to the position.
So now we'll have three guys. Now we'll have Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, and this Jackson Powers-Johnson guy, all centers who are waiting in the wings to play other positions too.
Yeah, sounds like a winning formula when you put it that way.
Sounds like when the Sixers had three centers.
Yeah.
Nerlens, Joel, and Okafor.
It's not the way you want to go
that
about
wasn't so
well,
good
other,
for perfection.
The other position, if Howie's going to go out of character this offseason, paid a running back, drafted a corner in the first round. The two top linebackers in the draft have fallen. I think they would have been reaches in the first round. But if Adrian Cooper or Peyton Wilson gets all the way to 50 or 53, I think it's something they have to consider. Both have their issues as prospects. But I also both think that I think both are better than N'Kobe, and you could argue, considering the down year he had, maybe more intriguing than Devin White. So if they're both available in those 50 picks, I would consider it.
Elliot, tell us how the configuration works game one. Give us your prediction. Is Quinyon Mitchell a starter? Is James Bradbury a starter? Is Avante Maddox a starter? You got two spots for starters other than Slay.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One outside, one inside, other than Slay on the other side. Who are the starters?
Well, it better be Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, you're
where? Outside, right?
Outside. They've been an outside
so
guy.
So who's the starting slot?
So if you look at it right now, I mean, Avante's still here. Obviously, we know Avante's issue is health, but I think if he makes it through training camp healthy, he's the best nickel corner on the roster right now. They say Isaiah Rogers is an outside guy. And maybe they'll stick to it, but they have so many guys on the outside now. Maybe they'll try to move him inside. They signed Tyler Hall from the Raiders. Obviously not a big name, but he's someone that has experience in the slot. So there's a lot of competition there. And then on the outside, don't write off Kelee Ringo. I mean, Kelee Ringo, I think, is an outstanding prospect still. I think considering the situation, he played well last year. And that's another issue with the Quinyon Mitchell pick is, you know, they're going to have to end up sitting somebody that is a good player or has reasoning to be out there. I think Quinyon will start because of his draft status. But Keeley's a good player. I like Eli Ricks. We'll see if Bradbury can bounce back. Like, there's a lot of competition there at that corner spot.
All right, Elliot, last thing here. I know you were incredibly busy last night with the draft. Did you get a chance to see Joel taking down Mitchell Robinson when he was trying for that dunk?
To be honest with you, I have not seen a great replay of it, so I don't want to.
We will not get you on the record then. All right, Elliot, good work, pal. Great draft coverage. I know you'll be a huge part of WIP, you know, the next couple of days with day two and day three draft coverage. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, good stuff. So let's get to today's Twitter poll questions of the day. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season at Armin, available 2.9% financing for up to 72 months on all new light duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. The question I was going to ask him is this question. Of course, those that saw it can weigh in. Do you think Joel Embiid should have been ejected for pulling down Mitchell Robinson while Joel was lying on the floor? Yes or no? Second poll question, who wins the series, Sixers-Knicks? Third poll question, with all those corners on the board, when the Eagles pick, who would you have taken? The four choices, obviously, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and Nate Wiggins. You can, and, you know, he was even talking about the other dude also, the other Bama cornerback. There were a lot
there. Yeah, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
I mean, I'm telling you, this really
who was injured. He's saying he would take the injured guy over the Toledo cornerback.
Landon Dickerson was,
most people thought.
Landon Dickerson was injured.
You're right.
He was.
So and
was
I didn't
Sidney
like
Jones.
That about him very much.
No, but then he actually started. Been, he started right from the beginning, right?
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
Pretty impressive. All right, to the phones we go on all the topics. Obviously, you can weigh in on all this, including so many Knicks fans in the building last night. Huge Sixers win. Incredible performance by Joel. The takedown by Joel of Mitchell Robinson. The pick of the Eagles. I mean, day two. There's a million things happening here. Chuck in Mount Airy as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Chuck.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I ran into Greg Anthony the other day, and, you know, this man was down 0-2. He said the Sixers are still going to win this series. You know what I mean? And I believe the Sixers are still going to win the series.
Look at that, the inside scoop.
Only way they could win this series, the Knicks, is if they rough it up. That's it. They know they're less talented than the Sixers. But, Joe, I want to say something to the Sixers fans out there. You guys are an embarrassment. You want to sit up here and you want to beat your chest and say you're the best fan base. I was there last night, section 109. You want to sit there and you want to say you're the best fan base in all the sports when everything goes right. But as soon as your team go down 0-2, you're a fair-weather-ass fan base. You sit there and let the Knicks fans come in there and take over your building like that. You should be embarrassed. And I don't blame the organization because I know they failed. But the fact of the matter is this is still your team. This is still your basketball team. This is still your city. And you sit there and you hit a garden compared to that crap yesterday. This is big L for the fans of Philadelphia, you fair-weather-ass fans.
Because Chuck, how bad
Philly
was
fans,
it?
If it was Eagles fans, you would have showed up. Y'all are a bunch of fair-weather fans, man. I tell you that right now. That team needed you, your energy, and you let your Knicks take over your stadium, man. That's an embarrassment, dog. Embarrassment. I ain't with it, man. I'm serious, man. And if we get to the East Finals or something like that, then y'all want to show up and sell out the stadium? We don't need that, man. Y'all should be ashamed of yourself. And I said it, yeah. I was in the building yesterday. I rocked with the team, and I know it's heartbreaking losses, but still your team, man. And it's still a good basketball
All right, Chuck,
team.
We got you, man. I mean, you've made your point. You've made it very strong.
I mean, good job, Chuck, I guess. I mean, you were there. You saw it. You felt it. Try to keep up the good work because we won.
See, I'm very conflicted on this one because – you know, ordinarily I might side with Chuck, but a couple things. First off, candidly, I didn't go. Nope. I wanted to watch TV and be able to watch the Sixers and the draft. So just full disclosure, is that the kind of game I might have otherwise gone to? Yes. Now, also full disclosure, had I gone, and I'm not saying this, this isn't boastful, I'm being honest, I would have been able to get in for free with a media pass. You know, 20,000 people, if they want to go, they got to pay money. And in this case, a lot of money because it's a playoff game. You know, I do put a lot of this on the Sixers organization. I do because, you know, like, James, you know what Pat Croce was like. You know how he would have stirred the town up with playoff fever.
It would never happen. This would have never happened.
Like, I assume Josh Harris was with Washington last night selecting the quarterback, right? I didn't see him courtside.
I didn't see him courtside.
On
so
TV, it did not.
He must have been there, but they didn't make a.
There, meaning Washington.
They didn't feature him.
I did not notice him at the Sixers game, and I was looking. I saw where his family was seated. I did not see him.
I didn't see him anywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you know, Chuck, I hear you, all right? I do. Everybody heard you. But we also have an owner who owns the Washington football team and the New Jersey Devils. And there is an effect of that type of stewardship. There just is. That's a poll question, James, that would have been fascinating if we did the who do you blame more, fans or the organization?
Yeah.
Because you guys know my theory on the Flyers. I mean, it's not – I'll say this. It is my job to watch the Flyers. I'm a talk show host. But it's not my job – to be interested in the Flyers. It's the Flyers' job to get me interested in them. Like, there's an effect of the Flyers being borderline irrelevant for the last 10 years.
100%. It's a choice. We have to choose to give our time to you. Time is valuable for all of us. Like, You know, we all have lives. We all have things going on. It's our choice to invest, to follow, to care.
Yeah.
And the more you push us away, whether it's with second-round exits, whether it's with the ownership, with the way they treat the fan base, the less likely we're going to be to give our time to you and our
James,
money.
James, you know my theory. When Doc Rivers chastised Philadelphia sports fans for the Ben Simmons thing and then never apologized to it, this is another example. Like, if he had just apologized, I'd feel, hey, Josh Harris, like Josh Harris should have made Doc Rivers apologize. Should have made him do it.
Yep.
But Josh Harris has no handle on stuff like that. Let's go to Justin in Tennessee. Justin, good morning.
What's happening, ladies and fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hi, Justin. Well, doing great.
Quite a bit and very good. Seriously, man, this is over. I mean, we can't even get to the A.J. Brown contract. We don't even have enough time. The Phillies won a game. We don't even have time to talk about it.
Hey, Mailata, too.
That was cool.
It's like that was really cool seeing him in his home. He got to announce that pick. That seems like such an honor.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, Justin, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, real quick, what I want to touch on. Elliot, you know, he was saying he would have taken Arnold or Kool-Aid over Mitchell. The thing about it is, you know, he was talking about, you know, you could have taken any one of those guys. Well, there hadn't been a single corner taken yet. Not a single one. So Howie had the pick of the litter. Okay, if you go back to the year that they took Rager instead of Justin Jefferson, you know, there were other receivers who had been taken. C.D. Lamb, you know, he had been taken. But the thing about it is, Arnold on some boards was the number one corner. On some boards, he was the number two. So that's what's going to play out, you know, in the long run, in my opinion. I don't care if he had played at Toledo. I don't care if he played at Tennessee, Alabama, where he played at. But he was on a lot of boards the number one corner in this draft. And, I mean, Elliot has said it the whole pre-draft process that offense is important. The first defensive player wasn't taken until like 15 or 16, and the guy that was taken is a guy with an injury history who was retired from football for 2 years.
There were a lot of guys taken last night with injury history. I thought more than most years. And that one was unbelievable. A guy that had literally stepped. I can't believe he went that high.
I can't either. I mean, I was
13 and a half
crazy.
Sacks 2 years in a row. Yeah. Get that for you. I mean, and the length, you know, a 6'5 guy who runs a 4.4.
Yeah.
That does it
and,
for you.
Geez.
And that's another spot where you take a guy from UCLA over a guy from Alabama. So, I mean, it's just all in what you like. And like I said, I think the fact that they had every corner available, and they took this guy. I believe in it. I do. It's not like it was Jalen Reagor, who people were, like, kind of surprised in. Danny Watkins. It's not a Marcus Smith pick. You had every corner available, and this is who you took. So, I mean, I'm totally fine with it. I'm good with it. Today, I really think if they stand pat, I think Howie's going to revert back to more of their philosophy. I think they will go offensive line and probably maybe another wide receiver or – defensive tackle or edge rusher with that second round pick. But great show today, guys. Really enjoying it so far. Joe, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
My wife and I are celebrating our 23rd wedding anniversary this weekend. And
congratulations.
Hope y'all have a good weekend.
Good
appreciate
for you,
it, bud.
Congrats, buddy. That's good stuff, man. Let's also listen to Embiid. I mean, here's another topic we hadn't previously gotten to, the Bell's palsy reality for Joel Embiid. So we've known for a few days something was going on with the eye. And he talked after the game. And you know, I'm sure some people noticed, but if you didn't, like, one of the things is the one eye blinks a lot and the other eye
doesn't.
Weird, right? Mm-hmm. So Joel was asked about it post-game, gave a pretty thorough explanation. Here's Joel Embiid last night after his 50 points talking about his eye situation.
Joe, I guess the first question is, there's a report out there that you suffered case of Bell's palsy. What exactly happened and how are you feeling?
I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but obviously, I guess that's a normal thing. I think he started the day or two before the Miami game, and I had, you know, bad migraines and thought it was nothing. But usually, I don't like to check it out, but for some reason, I ended up, you know, having to tell, you know, somebody. And that's why that Miami game, it was just, my body was just, I was just not feeling it. And then obviously lately with, I don't know if, I'm sure if you Google the symptoms, you know what it is. It's pretty annoying, you know, with, my left side of my face, my mouth and, yeah, and my eye. So yeah, it's been tough, but you know, I'm not a quitter, so gotta keep fighting through anything. But yeah, it's unfortunate. That's the way I look at it. But that's not an excuse. Gotta keep, you know, pushing.
All right, well handled by Embiid there. Man. So for those that don't know, because he said Google it, so I did. So let me tell you exactly what the Mayo Clinic says. Right from the Mayo Clinic, here's what they say about it. A good, brief explanation. Sudden weakness in the muscles on one half of the face. Bell's palsy may be a reaction to a viral infection. It rarely occurs more than once. Bell's palsy is characterized by muscle weakness that causes one half of the face to droop. Bell's palsy usually resolves on its own within 6 months. Physical therapy can help prevent muscles from permanently contracting.
And he dropped 50 points.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, like, I just feel like we can't really fault Joel for not having a fight in him this playoff series, at least. Like, to put up 50 points when you have basically one knee and Bell's palsy, like, you can't move half of your face. I know that might not necessarily affect his shooting, but I think if any of us had it, we wouldn't want to leave our houses.
Look, I think the eye
it's incredible.
Thing, the sight, I mean, if your eye, if you can't control your eyelid, if there's droop to your eyelid on one side, sure, that could throw off your sight, your shooting, your lines of sight.
Yeah.
When he was speaking, I felt so much sympathy for Joel Embiid. You know, he kept saying things like, you know, I'm not a quitter, and he's absolutely not making excuses, but he feels like he has to tell us that.
Well, he's heard the criticism.
Yes.
He's heard
them. And I'm sorry. I really feel like I need to apologize.
No, I don't
like,
agree,
as a
John.
Fan, because we've led him to this point.
No,
this
I disagree.
He's in a tough spot. And I appreciate what he's doing.
Now, you know what this is? This is Zach Ertz not taking that block in Cincinnati, but doing it 15 times. Like, if Zach Ertz only did it the one time. Like, the town got on Zach Ertz, and then he became a better player. I want to be clear. I admire what Joel's doing right now, but I don't apologize for my reaction to Game 7 last year in Boston when he didn't show up in a Game 7.
Oh, well, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's saying what he's saying because he's heard it for the last 5 years.
Yeah. I think he heard, and John, I kind of felt the same way you did when I heard it driving down. I'm like, I need to apologize to him for ripping his demeanor with the hands over the face. I felt bad about that. That's what I felt
did
bad about.
The more recent, I'm, yeah.
I'm yeah. screaming and making a huge deal out of that. Like, make
Sorry.
Eye contact. Stop being a child, an impetuous child. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's got half his face paralyzed.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And he can't control it.
Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that's messed up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.